I would like you to turn with me to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, and the 40th chapter. The book of Isaiah and the 40th chapter. I understand time is well spent, so I am going to do my best to keep things moving at whatever pace that the Lord has me to go. The book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, the third verse. If you don't know where Isaiah is, look in the table of contents. It's in the Old Testament section. Look kind of around the middle, you'll find it. But in the interest of time, we're going to keep moving. Once you find Isaiah, turn to the big number 40. The big number 40 then has a bunch of little numbers. They're called verses. Go to verse 3. And if you can't find it in time, we will try to have the words printed on the screen. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, the third verse. I will read out of the Christian Standard Bible version. You will find similar words printed in your text. Book of Isaiah, 40th chapter, third verse reads as follows. It says, "A voice of one crying out, prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness. Make a straight highway for our God in the desert." And today I would like to come to you from the following subject, paving roads. Paving roads. Yesterday, I was given an article, and I read this article, and it was about how political the church has become. It was about how, even for this next year's presidential election, how there are politicians and pastors that are coming together and basically using churches as political bases. And just to make it plain, they were talking about mixing church and politics. How pastors, I don't even want to say like me, but pastors like me, would be preaching from the pulpit how you're supposed to vote. Preaching from the pulpit why the left or the right is wrong. Preaching from the pulpit politics and holding political rallies and events in the church. Now, you know, the idea of church and politics, I've preached this a while ago. I might have to preach this in the future. I don't necessarily see a problem with Christians having informed views when we vote. I don't see a problem with that. In fact, I would argue that a majority of the Bible is politics. Have you ever read 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Samuel? Have you ever read the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ? There's a lot of politics that are going on. So it's not that, you know, we should never, ever, ever talk about politics, but the problem is that it presents the way that this is happening and the way that this is being organized is that when it's ultimately coming down to it, is we're presenting a distorted view of who God is. There's many churches that are trying to paint Jesus as a conservative Republican or a liberal Democrat. There's people that are trying to paint God as only siding with one political party. There's people that are trying to do that. And we're distorting the idea of who God is. This is a common problem
in churches, not necessarily just politics, but just Christians and churches in general. You know, what we're supposed to be doing is showing people who God is, not just showing people our version of who God is. We're supposed to be showing people what thus says the Bible, not what we like about what thus says the Bible. We want people to see. We want people to see God for who he really is. And so my question, and that's the question we're going to talk about today. How can people see God for who he really is? You know, we all have opinions. We all have biases. How can we really present God correctly? How can people see God for who he really is? And this is the question that Isaiah is answering in the 40th chapter. In the fifth verse, again, Isaiah is prophesying on behalf of the Lord. In the fifth verse, we're going to Isaiah 40th chapter, the fifth verse. It says, "And the glory of the Lord will appear, and all humanity together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So this is the goal. This is what we're trying to get to, is that the glory of the Lord appears, that humanity will see the glory of the Lord. We know that this is looking forward to the second coming of Christ, but this was also used of the first coming of Christ, and this was also used to show the idea of what God is going after, is that he wants people to see the glory of God. This is why, as a church, we try to glorify God among the people, so that the people may glorify God. We want people not to see St. John's version of God. We want people to see God for who he really is. And we want people to see the glory of the Lord. We want people to come and see that. That's the goal. How do we get there? Again, that's the question. How do we get there? Well, we got to back up to verse 3. And in verse 3, it says, "A voice of one crying out, prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness, and make a straight highway for our God in the desert." Now, I don't know, you know, I know y'all smart, but when I first read it, I thought that this preparation of the way of the Lord and this making a straight highway was for the Lord to come to us. You know, we would be preparing the road so that the Lord can walk on straight road. That's what I thought. I thought that, you know, we want to make it a straight highway for our God because we don't want our God walking on dirt and whatnot. We just want him to walk in straight. I thought that it was for the Lord to come to us. I thought this was what this was saying. But then verse 4 kind of messes things up, because now it starts talking about what the Lord does, and it says, "Every valley will be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be leveled. The uneven ground will become smooth, and the rough places a plain." And this is what the Lord showed me, is that when he calls, when he's talking about the voice of one crying out, "Prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness," this is not so that God can get to us. This is so that we can get to God. If a God like this can lift up valleys and flatten mountains, he's not worried about uneven ground. He's going to get to us somehow. So it's not that this was blocking God from coming to us. However, what we're doing is paving the road for us to get to God. Now, bring it home. What are you actually trying to say? What are you actually trying to say? How can people see God for who he really is? Well, one is that we make it easy for them. Just like our parking lot, we made it easy for you. That's that Toyota motor. We make it easy for you. You know, just like our parking lot. Our parking lot was, you know, we were able to park there. It held the cars up. There was enough space. However, the parking lot was rough. However, there were holes in the parking lot. However, there were points where if you stepped the wrong way, even if you're in the parking lot, you might have tripped or you might have got caught and rolled your ankle. And then there's a problem here at St. John. But what we decided to do was to pave the parking lot, not just to make it pretty, but to make it easy for you. When we are talking about paving roads, when we are talking about preparing the way and making it straight, we as believers are called to make it easy for people to come to Christ. Church, we should not complicate the path. We should not be adding sand and rubble and dirt onto the path. We should not be creating potholes and speed bumps on the path. As ministers and disciples of Jesus Christ, we ought to make it in our conduct, in our actions, in our speech, and everything. We ought to make it easy for other people to come to God. But it's not just making it easy. There's something else that was mentioned about a highway. And God brought me back to this. Make a straight highway. And I'll admit, again, I'm not necessarily as smart as you, but I, you know, the first thing I thought about the highway was the 110. You know. And then after that, there's the 10 for some. 405, you know, what we call them over here, freeways. You know, in New York, I think they call them expressways. Highways, the 101, the 91 from where I'm coming from. These are highways. And I tried to look this word up and I thought, you know, maybe I'm just misunderstanding this word, right? But the word means highway. So I said, okay, Lord, what do you mean here? He said, you know, you ever wonder why the 110 is so big? You know, the 110, you know, at certain points, it's got what, like 6 lanes? 7 lanes? If you're including the two and the, you know, the express, you know, the lane, express lane. Why is it so big? Why is the highway so large? And the reason is because this is Los Angeles, California. And in order for people to get around, you need to accommodate so that you can bring in the volume of people in and out of Los Angeles. LA's mentality is that we want as many people to come here and out of here as possible. Y'all hearing me? Just like Los Angeles, we ought to make a highway to God, such that anybody and everybody that we come across has access to the Lord. Why do I say this? It's because, unfortunately, we're in this whole state nowadays where we want to reach out to specific people. You know, there's churches that will only reach out to black people. There's only churches that will reach out to young people. There's only churches that will reach out to conservative people or liberal people. But as a church of the living God, we are to make a big 110 size freeway so that anybody can come to Christ. We ought to make it a straight highway. And in order to do that, we've got to pave the road. That means we've got to make it easy for people to get there. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever seen road paved. I don't know. In fact, I don't even know how many of you saw all the work that happened in the lot. But you don't just show up and spray black on everything. You know, you got to go in and you got to break up the ground. You got to break it up. You got to get heavy machinery to break it up. And then once you break it up, then you got to take all the rubble out. And then once you do that, then you've got to prepare the ground some more. And then once you've done that, then comes in the foundational layers. And then after that, then you start coming in with extra layers. And then after that, then you have to come in with the slurry, which is the top layer. And then on top of the slurry, then you have another layer that goes on. And then you got to put in the lines. What am I saying? Paving roads takes work. Creating highways for our God in the desert takes work. Preparing the way of the Lord in the wilderness. I don't know how many of y'all been in the wilderness. I've been in the wilderness a couple times. Doing that takes work. And St. John, the problem with most churches today is that it's too much work. Too much work. It's too much work to research our community and to understand its needs. Too much work. It's too much work to configure programs inside the church and so that when someone new walks in the door that they're welcome, that we know that they're gonna see God today. It's too much work. It's too much work to make sure that we have been growing in Christ so that we don't respond off to anybody, so that nobody talks bad about us when they talk about Christians. It's too much work. And this is why the church is where it is, because it's easier to build some dirt roads that maybe a couple of people will come through. It's easier to just tell people the way instead of paving the way. But St. John, if we are going to reach our community, and if all of us individually are going to reach the people that we have been called to reach, it takes work. It takes work. There's a saying, when you're teaching, is that it's easy to make things hard to understand, but it's hard to make things easy to understand. It takes work. If you've ever had to teach somebody how things work, if you're a teacher, it takes work. You don't just show up and tell them what to do and expect things to be done. It takes understanding. It takes research. It takes time to do that. St. John, let's put in the work so that we can make it easy for people to come to Christ. But how else can people see God for who he really is? Is that number two, God makes it possible for them. God makes it possible for them.
Do you realize that only God can lift valleys and flatten mountains? Only God can do that. And again, what is the goal? Verse 5. And the glory of the Lord will appear, and all humanity together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And so the verse before that was talking about leveling mountains and lifting up valleys. Why would God do that? Why would God even need to do that? Because if you live in a valley, and this is not a joke about those who live in the valley, but if you live in a valley, or if you live next to the mountain, your view might be blocked. So what God does is he lifts valleys and he flattens mountains because he wants to remove what's blocking their view. There are things that have happened in your lives that have seemed like mountains and valleys, and God has delivered you from them for the purpose of seeing the glory of God. And these are things that you and I could not do in our power. God had to do it. He had to remove these or level these mountains and raise these valleys. So as St. John, we want to invite God and ask God to remove mountains and valleys and make it all level, so that when we pave the road, that there's nothing else that is blocking them from getting there. God removes what's blocking their view. And some of us need to pray that too. We need to ask God to remove what's blocking our view of the Lord's glory. My only warning is that when you pray that, be careful. Be careful. On Instagram, they have reels. It's kind of like a little short, you know, little 15-second movie for those of us that may not know, sort of, kind of. And there was a person that was praying. He said, "Father God, I ask you, you know, to remove what's blocking me to coming to you. Father God, remove it right now in the name of Jesus. Remove it." And then suddenly, he disappeared. And the joke was that he was in his own way of seeing the Lord's glory. Be careful, because if you really want to get closer to God, if you really want to see the glory of the Lord, if you really want to develop a relationship with God, God is going to change some things in you that you are not going to like. He is going to address some what they call sacred cows in you that you are going to hold on to. He's going to talk about them habits that you have. And he's going to tell you to give it up. He's going to tell you that you're going to need to change your schedule. He's going to tell you that you got to treat so-and-so better. He's going to tell you to watch your mouth. He's going to tell you these things. And we're not going to like it. But if we are about our Father's business, it takes work. And sometimes that work needs to happen in us. St. John, if we need to reach this community, we want to glorify God among the people so that the people may glorify God. We want young people in the church. We want adults in the church. We want more people in the church. We want different races in the church. Are you sure you want that? Because if you do, God is going to start calling things out. St. John, Baptist Church of Los Angeles, California.
God is going to start addressing some things that you ain't going to like. God is going to start removing things that you may have held dear. God is going to start pointing out things that you have been trying to keep hidden. But the purpose is so that everyone can see him. Not just church folks. Not just the people that we want to come to the Lord. The Bible does say all humanity together will see it. And then there are some of us who realize that this scripture about preparing the way of the Lord and whatnot has referred to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was a type in this scripture, and his goal was to pave the way for Jesus. Now, I found this interesting, and the Lord just revealed this to me last night. I found this interesting. Jesus called John the Baptist the greatest prophet of all time. John the Baptist was greater than Isaiah. He was greater than Jeremiah. He was greater than Ezekiel, than Daniel. He was greater than Moses. He was greater than these. The greatest of all time. And John the Baptist could have hogged all of that glory for himself, because even people were asking if he is the Messiah. But John the Baptist clearly stated that he is not the Messiah, that there is one coming behind him that he couldn't even untie the thong of the sandals for. John the Baptist used was paving the road for Jesus. Let me just read it. Matthew 3:1-3. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near." And this is talking about John the Baptist. "For he is the one spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, who said, 'A voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" I find it very interesting that Jesus used the greatest prophet of all time to pave the way for him. St. John, God has blessed us with influence, with power, with resources. And God is doing that not just so that we can have a happy life, but he is doing that because we ought to be paving the road for Jesus. There are certain things that you have access to. There are certain people that you can reach that I will never be able to reach. You can make it easy for people to come to Jesus. John the Baptist used his influence and he paved the road for Jesus. But what's even more ironic is that Jesus himself is the paved road to the Father. What do you mean? John 14:6, it says, Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So the only way to come to the Father is through Jesus Christ. Not by just being a good person, not by coming to church a bunch, but it is through Jesus Christ, the one who was born of the Virgin Mary, the one who lived for 33 years, and the one who was crucified on a cross for your sins and my sins, the one who was buried, and then on the third day, the one who rose up from the grave. And why is this gospel message so important? Is because the crucifixion made it possible and easy to be forgiven. And the resurrection made it possible and easy to live forgiven. So what does this mean for us? As Christians, our job is not just to tell people what to do. Our job is not just to be perfect and show everybody else how perfect we are. Our job as road pavers to Jesus is to lead people to Jesus Christ himself, because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And that is our job, to expose him, to expose them to Jesus Christ. And if there's something that we can't remove, God will remove it for them. So in the end, and I'm closing right now, let's just do our job. Let's do our job. And the question I want to leave with is this. What road can you pave? What road can you pave? Some of us know what we should be doing, but aren't doing. Some of us know that the way we are is hindering others from coming to Christ. How could we start to pave that road? St. John, there are some things, and I know we're coming on 2024, there are some things that we are doing that are preventing people from staying. What can we do? What can we do? What road can you pave?